the approval of the action minutes from April 24th, 2025. So I will make a motion to approve the meeting minutes. They will approve the consent calendar. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All right, we will
Thank
do.
You. So we have a motion from Chair Gaffney and a second from Commissioner Duffy to approve the consent calendar. When I call your name, please state your vote. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney?
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Palmateer?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Abstain.
Abstain, not present.
Okay. Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Kashani?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful, thank you. All right, then now we will move on to the full public hearing for 1902 University Avenue, which means we will start with a presentation from staff.
Good evening, I'm Russell Rowe, and I'm the lead planner on this project. Can you hear me, or do I need this closer? Okay, all right, I'm okay. How do I get this to appear up there? No. Okay. Okay, so now you've got control of the slides, right? Okay. All right, sorry about the delay there. This is a use permit application for an existing small retail convenience store market who would like to add beer and wine sales to their options. Karen? It's located on University Avenue on the south side, just east of Martin Luther King Jr. Way, in a small retail space in the downtown mixed-use area. It is it's an area that's mostly mixed retail businesses, restaurants, and all the other things you would expect in a downtown, with a few nearby apartments. And then if you look on the lower left of the screen, there is a small residentially zoned area, with the nearest house being probably 100 yards or so around the corner from the business. This application was received in February of this year, very quickly deemed complete. It was a simple application. And then public hearing notices were posted on April 24th, and that brings us to this evening's hearing. This is a floor plan of the store. University Avenue is up at the top of the screen, and if you, the red circled area at the bottom is where the applicants have proposed that they would display the alcoholic beverages. So it would be in the back of the store. There are several findings that the board needs to make in order to approve this project. One is the general non-detriment finding. And the existing business is not proposing physical or operational changes, and it's subject to the Berkeley, the city noise ordinance, and perhaps most of interest, the standard conditions for alcohol sales and service are applicable to this permit, and also alcohol beverage control, state alcoholic beverage control, they'll be subject to their rules as well. The CDMU district, downtown mixed use commercial district, is excuse me. the purposes of the district is to implement the visions of the and goals of the downtown area plan, and this includes being compatible with the district, promoting economic growth, and being compatibility with surrounding uses and buildings. Staff's opinion is that this project is compatible because it's not proposing any big changes. It's an existing store. They're just adding alcohol beverage sales, which will presumably promote the economic health of the store and therefore economic health of the city and so on. And it's also, it's already proven to be compatible with the surrounding uses and buildings. It's fit in there for a while. There are also specific alcoholic beverage findings that need to be made. One of the findings that needs to be made is that it has economic benefits. And as I've mentioned, there are clear economic benefits. A very small convenience store is not got a lot of overhead. And this is something that can help a store like this survive. And again, it generates tax dollars and so on for the community. There's also a provision in the city ordinance that if the alcoholic beverage control census tract limits for this type of permit are exceeded, that some additional findings need to be made. In this case, alcoholic beverage control said their census tract limit is one permit of this type, and this would actually be the second one, so the additional findings do need to be made. These are, there's a list of possible findings. What I've displayed here are the three that I think are met by this project. One, again, is the economic benefits would be hard to achieve otherwise. Second, the sale of alcoholic beverages is complementary to other goods sold at the store. They're a typical thing that's sold in a little convenience store like this. And also it provides a convenience for neighborhood residents and guests. So since all the findings can be made, staff recommends approval to allow this business to sell beer and wine for consumption off premises.
Thank you for your presentation. Does anyone from the commission have any questions? Yeah, Commissioner Kashani.
Just curious, what are their current hours of operation and will there be any change?
Current hours of operation, what was that? I'm sorry, I am forgetting that, but the applicant is here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we will be.
They can answer that.
Yeah, well, we'll be hearing from the applicant next, so maybe we'll just ask that question when the applicant comes up.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries, it's okay. Is there, you have any other questions? Yeah, Vice Chair Young?
Yeah, I just have a question about the findings that must be made given the census tract limit. So just looking at this portion of municipal code, 0.020C3, it states that the exceedances are a limit set by the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, which I understand is a state agency. So is the limit set by the state and then locally we can opt to exceed that? I'm just wondering how that state limit interacts with our code.
Essentially, yes. The wording is a little confusing. So the limits are set by the state, and alcoholic beverage control will let us know what those limits are. But then, yes, we can opt to exceed those limits by making any one of the findings on that list that's in that section of the ordinance.
All right, wonderful, thank you. Any other questions before we move to, yeah, Commissioner, oh yeah, Commissioner Thompson, then Commissioner Sanderson.
Is this the first time that this location has applied for a permit, for this type of permit?
Yes, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first time they've applied for an alcoholic beverage permit.
Oh, I think Commissioner Sanderson first, and then Commissioner Duffy.
So my question is, how many, these are type 20 permits?
Yeah, yes.
How many are within the census tract?
According to ABC, there are currently only one. This would be number two.
This would be the second. So there's not two there already.
Right.
Okay. And I've read the comment letters that have come in, and was the police chief aware of the neighbors' concerns? Is this an area that has been subject to concerns of public safety? Go ahead.
So yes and no. The comments that you're referring to didn't come in till yesterday, or maybe the day before, but I wasn't even aware of them till yesterday.
Okay.
So the police would not be aware of the specific comments from the neighbors.
Okay.
However, the way the process works is that when I start to review the project, I send all of the application materials with the project description and everything to the police department, and then they do their background research and they come back and say whether or not they have any concerns.
Okay, so the information in the comment letter about there being, you know, behavior problems, people drinking in front of their houses and throwing their bottles and leaving trash, that, I guess, is something that there was not a police report on, or the police department would have referenced it.
Presumably, I mean, I can't really speak for the police, but they certainly didn't bring anything up about that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Sanderson. Commissioner Duffy?
I have a few questions. If maybe you could speak or summarize those community comments to share them to us, would that be okay?
I could do that. I got a printout of them here. Here we go. So most of the comments are pretty similar to each other. As was mentioned, some people are concerned that there are sometimes inebriated people in the neighborhood, sleeping on their lawns, that sort of thing. They are concerned that more alcohol sales in the neighborhood would lead to more of that. They're concerned about vandalism, antisocial behavior in general. They're mentioning that Trader Joe's and Ledger's and Target and a nearby gas station all already sell alcoholic beverages. And they think that one more is not necessary. So I think that would pretty much sum up the comments we received.
Thank you for hearing those. Do you have more comment or questions?
Thank you. Yeah, so you can get alcohol and you can alcohol and beer at Trader Joe's, like Kitty Corner, right? You can get alcohol Kitty Corner also at the gas station too, right?
I believe so.
But I assume that there's a different permit or different license, given that there's only one allowed of that, of the type 20 in the district, in the tract, right?
I think so. I didn't look to see what specific licenses those other businesses had, because I just went by what ABC told me. But there are a number of different licenses that could potentially allow for the retail sales of alcohol.
Good to know. I actually have a few more questions. Yeah. Were there, I mean, I think these findings require data and not just a hunch. And was there any economic impact analysis? Like some detailed projection of anticipated sales or any estimates of increased tax contributions from those sales? So there's just a hunch that more economic activity might happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. Honestly, that's standard for when we do these alcohol permits.
Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you. Were there any market demand studies, like surveys or demographic studies about demonstrating demand for beer and wine that's not currently being met by existing establishments?
I'm not aware of any.
No. In the past, and I ask this because in the past, sometimes when we've seen applications like this, there's findings that present some sort of like, whether it's meeting some niche market, whether it's providing some sort of unique opportunity, and then often there's like maybe a comparison with a similar area about why it might, a case study or example from a similar district where adding an extra permit beyond what's allowed might positively impact local economies. I think it's important to know. Are there any letters of support from local residents?
I didn't receive any. I think the applicant might have.
Great, awesome. And I ask these questions now because I know that there'll be applicant presentation too, so then if the applicant has the opportunity to sort of address it, awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I got for now.
Yeah, I received absolutely no communications from the public till yesterday.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, Commissioner Sanderson.
So my understanding is that if there's only one other type 20 license within the census tract, then these other places that we know sell alcohol have a type that allows them to sell hard liquor.
Probably.
Yes, it does. And so that gives a different, it's not just the type 20, but it's all of the outlets together that I think, at least for me, gives me some concern, is the amount in the neighborhood. Thank you.
All right, thank you, everyone. Does anyone have any? Yeah, Commissioner Allen?
I just want to maybe put a bit of a point on Commissioner Sanderson's. So these are, and she and I have some experience working with the city and sitting in your chair. And planning staff over time has provided a map that is within a half mile or something that shows the different type of alcohol licenses. And so let's assume there's three different types. You could see graphically the density of the different types, and then it would go to these findings that need to be made, going back to Commissioner Duffy's point of like there needs to be data in the record that the issuance of the license the issuance of a license at the proposed location will improve the convenience of area residents and visitors who purchase alcohol. So something that outlines the density or lack of density of alcohol sales in the area would be meaningful if one were to try to make that finding.
Sure, yeah, the map you're referring to used to be a direct result of a provision in the BMC that said that we had to show the distances to schools and parks and so on. When the alcohol part of the ordinance was changed a year and a half ago, something like that, that was taken out, which is why the maps are no longer put into these reports. But I think that's a fair point. Maybe we could consider putting them in anyway.
Something to think about. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. This has already been a very interesting discussion. So, any other questions before we still have more to go? So, all right, I think then we will move on to at least the presentation from the applicant. So then I think you are good to take your seat back. So applicant, you can come on up here, and you'll have a 5-minute presentation for this. And then we'll also get to come and ask you questions too.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Amira Homran, and I am the head planner and designer of everything that's going on within this business. I'm happy to be here. This is a little nerve-wracking, but hopefully everything will work out perfectly. So I just got news of these emails, which I had to take a look at because I have kids in the neighborhood and things of that sort. So I just wanted to make sure that there was nothing that was going to spook anyone regarding anything else in the store that was going to happen. So first and foremost, we would like to note that there has never been an intent to sell beer and wine sales in our market. But because of high demand for higher quality beer and wine and high rent rates, we have made a decision to incorporate about 10 to 15% of the store with alcohol sales. The other part of the store is a mixture of organic snacks and drinks. We also are in the process of bringing organic produce, and about 90% done with incorporating the WIC program within our market. Just as of yesterday, I was told that there have been some people who would like for our application to be rejected without any reasonable explanation as to why. This is flat out economic discrimination. You cannot want a business to not have beer and wine just because there's already a white-owned store right across the street. That is not a reliable reason. That's basically saying that white people can sell alcohol, but minorities can't. If you are so opposed to the sale of liquor, and I am speaking to the people that I saw the emails about, if they are so opposed to the liquor in the community, then there needs to be a ban for all sales of alcohol within Berkeley. Berkeley is not a dry city, as you guys may know. There's a lot of alcohol everywhere. But as for now, there is no such laws in place. And there have been two recently opened restaurants that are a block away from us who are white-owned owners who have been approved for the sale of liquor within their establishments without any problems or setbacks. We need this license not only to satisfy our customers, but to also have a fair economic survival. As stated within these complaints, there are some worries about garbage that may or may not form within the area. We can assure you that even before considering beer and wine license, we have maintained excellent cleanliness inside and outside our establishment. But not only that, the city of Berkeley has an amazing group of individuals who walk around downtown area and neighborhoods cleaning on a daily basis. So that will not be a problem. Also, 311 gets anywhere in Berkeley in minutes to clean up any unwanted trash. Some would also like to state that the mentally ill or homeless will somehow be more disruptive in the community if we are approved. This is not only undermining the ability of our amazing law enforcement, in which we have contacted for just, you know, if I have anybody coming near my home or something like that, and they're always on top of everything, so I just wanted to put that out there. But it clearly shows that this is not about the sale of beer and wine when it comes to these opposing people who sent in the emails, but rather to try to shut out and diminish the business of minority groups who are trying to make a living just as our white neighbors have who were not targeted for the sale of alcohol. This denial of our license will not in any way prevent the community from consuming alcohol. This is just a way to try and make sure minorities have no chance in becoming successful business owners in Berkeley. We are hardworking individuals who have children who go to school at Washington Elementary, Berkeley High School, and we do not tolerate any underage sale of any substances. We have recently been awarded with a certificate that I can provide for you guys from the California Department of Public Health, in which states that there are many occasions a decoy under the age of 21 was sent to the market in attempts to purchase tobacco products, in which we successfully denied the purchase each time. Again, the attempts from the individual who are hoping to deny our alcohol license is in no way, is in is in not any way to make our community safer. That would just be ridiculous, saying that there are other establishments that carry alcohol. We would just be carrying a different variety of alcohol. This is just a delay to try to push out minorities who are trying to make a decent living. And I really do believe that, because we do not sell anything that Trader Joe's sells. And I understand that they are right across the street from us, but many people who go to Trader Joe's end up coming to us. They do their shopping, and then they'll come and buy their snacks and drinks. We do not sell almost anything of what they sell. And even with the 10 to 15% of the alcohol that we do plan on having into our market, it will not be the same variety. We really want to focus on higher end quality wines from Napa Valley, different types of areas. I don't know if my time is almost
up. You have one more sentence if you'd like.
Oh, nothing else. I'll just answer the questions that they had before.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Our hours of operation are 9 to 12, and we didn't plan on changing them. 9 a.m. to 12 a.m.
All right, thank you. Any other question to the applicant right now?
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes.
Regarding you providing something different than Trader Joe's and people preferring that, or your particular customers preferring that, is that documented in any way?
Actually, we have so many. So basically, we only knew about these rebuttals as of yesterday. If I did know, I would have gotten more information for you. But since the beginning of our opening about a year ago, people have been coming in constantly asking for high quality products, in which we do bring almost next day. Like any type of products that they ask for, we don't, you know, not now, we don't have the beer and wine, but any other type of items we do bring in. So I do have 46 signatures as of today, emails and phone numbers of people who really want beer and wine at this location, not just because I understand that somebody can say Trader Joe's, but some people don't like to wait in long lines, and some people like different varieties. We can bring in what people may not have as a smaller store. So, and rent is extremely, extremely high. We're paying $7,000, and this will not only help us, but it will bring in more money. We can give back to the community in taxes, to our schools, to the public hearings, to the public health, so many different things. This is not just gonna help one community. I mean, it's not just gonna help our family community, but everyone else's as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other commissioners have any questions for the applicant? Commissioner, Vice Chair Young?
Less a question, but if you have documented support or comments from other folks, maybe we can somehow get that shared with staff and incorporated into the record for this.
Yeah, that would be great. I do have the, like I said, it's just from today, but 46 signatures, their phone numbers, and emails. So of people who do want the approval of this.
Commissioner Sanderson, thank you.
So the comment letters opposing this application, have any of those people who signed on to that approached you to try to have a discussion about their concerns?
No, which is very concerning. I would assume, because of the fact that there was signage up for almost 4 to 5 months or something like that, I've been in contact with Russell and a lot of people from zoning, and they've never stated anyone complaining about anything. So it's kind of, when it was online, I think somebody probably got triggered or something like that. But I did want to, like, you know, say, oh, first and foremost, I did write this down so I don't forget. There was actually before us a person who, we will not be the first establishment at this location selling alcohol. The old owner had a liquor license and had no, I spoke with him, he didn't have any problems whatsoever with the city or with the neighborhood. So okay. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right. Thank you.
No problem.
Commissioner Kashani, you had a question?
Yes. How long have you been in business at this location?
For about a year.
Okay. And you have a long-term lease?
Yeah, we have a 5-year lease, and we want to extend it for as long as we can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions? Yeah, Commissioner Palmatier.
So in the floor plans that were submitted showing the locations of the proposed beer and wine selling, where in proximity is like the cash register to where the beer and wine would be located?
I want to say about 10 feet or so from that, where, you know, it's about 2,600 square feet with the back, and it's located in the back area where the other refrigerators are, and then you just walk up a couple steps and the cash register is there.
Thank you. Yeah. And how many employees do you usually have on site during operating hours?
About 2 to 3.
Thank you.
Yeah, Commissioner Joy.
Since we're talking about numbers, how much are we talking about in terms of the volume of alcohol you would actually have in your store? Because we're talking about Trader Joe's, which seems significantly larger than your store. So when you, because I didn't see the square foot area on the documents, I'm not sure if there's one. Do you know about how much, like, linear length of shelving or how many shelves you'll be doing? Or?
So it is about a 3-door refrigerator. Mm-hmm. We're planning on putting beer and wine and also boxed wines probably on the shelf if people do want that.
Right.
Yeah, that's about what else.
So a standard 3-compartment refrigerator.
Yeah, about one 2-compartment, one 3-compartment, not that much. We don't want the whole store's main focus is to be beer and wine. If we didn't have a very high demand of this, we would not be here today. But we put a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort to be here. And it's like, you know, we're just pushing and pulling for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commissioner questions? Yeah, Commissioner Allen.
This is more of a statement. I appreciate your comments about the lines at Trader Joe's. And one of the things that is difficult for the public and for ZAB and staff, honestly, at times, is the way the zoning ordinance is written and what does it mean? And it means different things in different projects, in different contexts, and over time and whatnot. So when I think about convenience, I think, well, how far is it to walk? And your point about convenience is, how long do you stand in line? And if I just want chips and beer, it would be more convenient to go to a small store versus, and so I appreciate that, yes, like, yes, that, like, here's a different way to think about convenience.
Yeah, it is a different way. And you know what? I think that I understand the concern of the community. I mean, there is one person who just didn't like the way our, you know, thing looked, saying thick bars, windows, and ugly signages, and tacky lighting, which we went through zoning, and we had to go through every single process, just like any other person. That's why I think it's kind of a minority thing more than anything else. We went through zoning and planning and use and fire and everything, and we did it the proper way, and we will continue to do it the proper way, and I do really appreciate your comment.
All right. Any other? Looks like we're good. All right. All right.
I have a question.
Oh, yep. Commissioner Khashoggi.
You mentioned this is an important economic consideration for you. Could you talk about what happens if you're denied?
I was just talking to my partner, actually. If we're denied, we're going to have to shut down. And I get kind of emotional because I want to give my kids that white collar privilege. I want them to be successful. And we will not be able to do that if we shut down. I went to school for so many years, and my partner came from, you know, a country where he didn't have anything, and we're working extremely, extremely hard, and we've put in every dime for this night. So if we're not able to get it, then we will have to speak to the owners and see if we can get out of lease.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, we will move on to public comment then. And we have a couple green cards. So we have a couple people here in person. And so now is your time, if you are online, to raise your hand if you'd like to speak. Everyone's going to get 2 minutes, and you can come on up here to the microphone. So the first one will be up will be Janet. And do make sure the microphone's on so people online can hear you. There should be.
Put it up. Good evening. I'm Janet Levinson. I'm one of the signers of the letters. And I just wanted to provide a context because I appreciate the questions and I appreciate the work before you. I think it's an interesting question of, did the neighbors seek out the information? I've been in my home since 1997, moved in when the public safety building was being built. At that time, the city manager, the planning commission, I can't tell you how many times they met with us. And in fact, the fence on Addison is different than the fence on McKinley in response to what the neighbors felt they needed. Then the Salvation Army was coming in on University Avenue, and the Director of Economic Development scheduled a meeting to meet with those of us who backed up directly onto it. Those days have deteriorated in our city to the point that I'm listening to, well, why didn't you do anything about it? We've had a sign in our window. We actually contacted ABC in 2023 because there's another small convenience store on University down the street that would like to do the same thing. They said, we're going to get an alcohol license because we need the students to come buy alcohol for us to make a profit. I absolutely understand the small business owner's plight in trying to make it. But the question of detriment really has to be on those who are impacted. And when I tell people about our neighborhood, it sounds hyperbolic, right? Everybody's got transients, everybody's got homelessness, everybody's got theft. If I give specific examples, people from across the city, friends who live elsewhere, are stunned to hear that despite all of us putting up fences with gates, we still have people who can manage to get in and defecate on our back decks or on our lawns or steal stuff from the backyard or pass out in the front yard. The police are well aware. We call 311. We talk to the police constantly. The police are completely overwhelmed. They cannot document every incident.
We'll have to just a couple, one more okay. sentence.
I just want to say one thing, which is the context of this. Not only, you know, selling alcohol at a restaurant is very different than selling it at a convenience store. There are opportunities to buy alcohol on three of the corners. Directly next to that and directly across the street are some of the city services for the homeless. Boss. And across the street, we have all the services located right there.
Thank you. We hear you. We really do. We do. Thank you so much. Sorry, I do got to be fair to everyone. So I appreciate you all working with me on the time limit. I know 2 minutes is not a lot. We have one more green card, and then we'll go to online. Oh, we might have a third green card. Ahmed, come on up. You have 2 minutes, Ahmed. Ahmed. Am I saying it right? Ahmed? Ahmed, are you here? Okay. We will come back to this. Looks like we have one more. We just had a green card come in. So Ahmed, if you are here at all, you have your 2 minutes. I want you to be able to speak. But Samuel, if you're ready, I think it looks like you're in the back. So yeah, Samuel, you have your 2 minutes. And we'll remind you when your 2 minutes is up, and then after that, just wrap it up for you.
Hello. So the main thing is that—
Make sure you come speak a little in the microphone.
I work at the gas station right across the street. Like I break down the boxes. I've been, you know, on and off going there for like the last 3 years. And I'm there until close at night, and there's just a lot of problems right there, you know. And it's like a couple of times a week that, you know, I'm dealing with something, having to take somebody off the property, or there's a fight, or there's something like that. It's just always a problem, you know? So, I mean, honestly, like, I really think we got enough already. Like, it's all right there. I don't think that we really need to have another business selling alcohol right there, personally. So, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Samuel. All right, that is it for, I said, Ahmed, if you are here, going once. Going twice, we're all right. Anyone online, if you could raise your hand. I don't see anyone online right now. So I'm going to say the public that if Ahmed is really not here, then I will close the public comment portion of the public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. All right, public comment is closed then. That means we are ready for discussion. We got Commissioner Kashani, start us off.
Thank you very much. I am well aware of the more than double digit 12% commercial vacancy we have around town, especially in this neighborhood. And I look at this as an opportunity to avoid additional vacancies in our town. I appreciate my co-commissioner concerns about having demonstrating market demand for three refrigerators full of beer and wine. I think it's really excessive to ask for a market study and a market demand. I did notice that the city manager brought an item to the city council on February 25th, work session called Berkeley Economic Dashboards Update. I'm looking at that right now in real time. There's a lot of good data in there if you'd like to pull it up. It talks about the vacancies around town, and we're really suffering post-COVID. We have all suffered from vacancy. Convenience is really important. In my neighborhood, there is a Safeway. I avoid going in there because I get lost in it. I would rather go to a small neighborhood grocery store. I think Debbie does the same thing because we live in the same neighborhood. So I really want to encourage all of us to consider supporting a local small business, and I would like to make a motion to approve the staff recommendation.
Thank you, Commissioner Kashani. I will second that motion, but I also want to hear more from my fellow commissioners. But I also agree, I think, in giving people the option to be able to, and the convenience to, for a different thing over in that corner, is important. And bringing up everything about the vacancies, it's hard to watch around here, and we want to be able to support, especially small businesses, any way we can. But that being said, we are open to friendly amendments, another motion, and or just general comments. So, yeah, Commissioner Sanderson.
I just wanted to make a statement, and then I have some other comments. First of all, it saddens me to think that the comments were driven by racial prejudice. And I am very sympathetic to that. However, we are making our decisions for land use, and we won't, I think everyone will agree, we won't change our position if it seems like it meets the land use requirements. Then that's what we pay attention to. And if there are other issues behind the comments, then I think they need to be handled in another venue, but not here. So, but that said, I'm old enough, probably the oldest here, where there was a time in Berkeley where we had convenience stores with alcohol, and we had neighborhoods that had months and months of abuse of alcohol and drugs in people's front yards. And if that's going on, I mean, then the police department needs to be notified and followed up. It's not clear to me that that behavior is due to the ready availability of alcohol. It is a trying neighborhood in many ways, given other things around. But I think in the past when we had those issues, planning staff spent hours with the neighbors, with the store owners, trying to find a solution, and with the police department. So in this case, it doesn't seem to have been raised to that level. So Berkeley is much better off now because there are several stores that are not allowed to ever sell alcohol because of the history of what happened in those neighborhoods. So I'm planning to support the proposal, and I just hope the neighbors will be able to talk with the police department and maybe housing, I don't know who else you talk to get on top of what's happening in their neighborhoods, because people don't deserve to live that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Sanderson. Those are definitely incredibly important points. And yeah, we don't, the neighbors to suffer either. And we know that there are issues. Any other comments, please? I'm happy to hear. Commissioner Allen?
I have, I guess it's a friendly amendment or a considerate amendment.
Yeah.
One of the findings is around how it complements other goods at the store. And another piece of this is, you know, the sale of alcohol in a convenience store. And the comment made by the applicant that it would be about 10 to 15%. So this is like the how I would feel like that's maybe better supported. If there could be a modification or a clarification on the site plan that was provided, where there's a square of like, here's the proposed area, but there's beer and wine and there's beer and wine. If there could be like a measured, like it's gonna be this less than quarter of the store, like something that's physical, less than a quarter of the store in this back corner, that's where the alcohol sales happens. And that just makes it easier for staff or anyone in the future to say, yes, you were approved for this type of alcohol sales, and to make the findings about complement to your other goods, this is the fraction of the store that it relates to. That was a long ramble, but I think well, I got
we'll,
it.
We'll try and work through we'll have follow-up questions to kind of what that might be. And I said, Commissioner Kashani, did you have your hand? Did you?
Yes. I think the friendly amendment to the motion, as long as it says it's capped at 25% of the store area.
That seems much easier. Wow, one sentence.
Yeah, because the applicant did say like that, you know, that they gave us a actual like bit of a dimension within the three doored cooler. So yeah, I mean, it said assuming 25% to me also sounds.
That's acceptable to me.
All right, so it sounds like that is in our friendly. It's friendly to it. We're friendly to it. We're still happy to hear from more people. Does anyone have any more comments before we vote on the motion? Yeah, Commissioner Thompson.
I remember when the project came along, the 7-Eleven project came some time ago.
And which is closed now.
Right, and that's what I wanted to bring up. Just there were issues in the neighborhood, and I personally did not feel comfortable voting yes for that. I voted no for it. I thought, you know, I don't want to put more alcohol in a neighborhood that already has problems. But now the problems in the neighborhood that I know of have not been resolved, and yet we have another business gone, which is another set of problems. So, I like the cap on the percentage. I also like the idea of having a different product, a higher quality product, is something that I think sounds appealing and nice, and I hope that's how it's executed.
Thank you, appreciate that. Yeah, Commissioner San, I will do Commissioner Duffy first, sorry, I saw your hand first.
Sure, maybe I should speak since I was the one who was first started to pull this off consent anyway. I still have a very hard time making a finding that these findings are sufficient enough. We didn't receive a map to make an understanding. I recognize fully we support small businesses. They're essential. We must. I'm not here to criminalize a small business for selling alcohol or criminalize buying alcohol or drinking it. We all, many people do, and it's not just people that are outside. Many people do. But there's really, we don't see any data that pins it to say that selling alcohol will hurt the local environment and add detriment. It is our responsibility to consider this though, right? Will it add detriment or will it not? Or will it help, okay? The data to understand that, to make that subjective decision is not in front of us tonight. That's my struggle. And it's not that whether I like alcohol or don't, or like minority businesses or don't, it's not that. It's about the data presented in front of us to make these findings, because this isn't just a case where One permit is allowed. Okay, they're applying for a permit. Great, one permit's allowed. You get the permit. This is an addition to. So there's an additional amount of subjective interpretation regarding findings and data. And I'm not saying it needs to be exhaustive. I'm just saying it's not here. That's it. And so this isn't something that I think I would oppose the permit, but I would say that continuing it or expecting more detail about understanding whether approving this or not affects the relative detriment or positive health and externalities of the neighborhood. That to me, I'm still lost in terms of whether it's going to help or hurt. And if anyone feels that there is sufficient data that's supporting a small business, which we need in Berkeley, to sell alcohol is going to not be detrimental. And if you've got something to prove, to share, all ears.
Yeah, Mr. Sanderson.
Let me comment on that. The findings here and the evidence that is here has been typical of Berkeley's use permit approvals of alcohol in these circumstances for years. And I think that it's fairly well known, I can't give you data, but I mean, someone could find the data, that when times are tough, selling alcohol is a way to survive. It's true of restaurants, it's true of small businesses. I think requiring more data or market analysis or whatever from a small business owner is too much. And I think that if we're going to start going down that path, then we need to start with staff and talk with them about what kind of analysis do we need from applicants in order to make this decision. I don't think we can start something that sounds more rigorous and more time-consuming than we have for any other small business that's been in this situation. So I understand your concern, but you know, I think that it's a story we hear over and over and over again from businesses and restaurants. So I'm not sure who should provide the data, but I don't think it's fair to start down that path now with one applicant when we have been approving numerous ones for a long time based on, I mean, even way back when I was a planning manager, it still was the same kind of evidence that, you know, we may go out of business and we need this for revenue. So, I mean, I think it's worth a conversation with staff about what data should we require and is that data readily available. Doing a market study, I think, is overkill. But I don't think we should impose it at this time on this applicant.
Thank you for Commissioner Sanderson. I would almost argue too that, I mean, the 7-Eleven is, as Commissioner Thompson was saying, an interesting case study on what happens when a business is not able to sell beer, wine, and during tough times and make that, you know, make money through that means. And, you know, vacancies do really hit street corners rough. I mean, that street corner was already, you know, seeing a lot of people. And, you know, yeah, vacancies will never make that better. And so, yeah, I think it is just kind of an interesting case study that we all were, a lot of us were a part of, not everyone here. Yes, Commissioner Duffy.
I want to say thank you, Board Member Sanderson. The technicalities of this issue, I've learned a lot from you when over 4 years being here, and the questions that you ask, and the things that when we look at the map and we look at the variation of permits and we look at the radius, and I remember every one of those because they're very subjective and there's some care that is required. I remember one of them regarding a niche market where they said, well, we wish to serve wine on premises to people in a location that is an outdoor space where that type of use doesn't exist in the neighborhood. And here's examples of I don't know how many residents that were very interested in that additional service of that particular niche use, and it was very useful. So I'm not saying market analysis in some like big hire a consultant way, but I just mean in terms of like, in terms of not just being anecdotal about everything. And I have anecdotes too. We also know that when we all, with 7-Eleven, we saw that they were telling the truth. They said, if we can't sell alcohol, we're gonna close. They didn't get the permit and they closed. And so we know, that's anecdotal though, but we know that and that's true. I question in terms of just the logistics of this, and it really does have to do about preparedness and the application. This isn't about the particular applicant. Okay. If it's not about the particular applicant, this is just about the details in the application. Tomorrow, if there's another small business applicant that were to arrive on the block with the same exact level of detail that we review here, what criteria do we use? Do we stand on an approval from this evening and approve that too? Or do we use the limits or the understanding, or I just, that's a question. And that's something I struggle with. I don't want to just do, I'm sorry to throw a hypothetical out there. We can ditch it if you'd like to. But it does set these decisions, and the basis of these decisions are important in the next decision.
Right. I have been troubled by it since I was a planner for Berkeley. There never had been any suggestion of a way, but we did always have the map, which I didn't realize it went away because of an amendment in the code, because if I had known that, I would have fought hard for the map. It's the only way you can visualize what's going on in the neighborhood. In the past, we opposed alcohol permits when there was some relationship between the applicant and the behavior in the neighborhood, and that took, you know, a lot of study. But we have in the city of Berkeley, in the past, denied alcohol permits when we were in that situation. So I mean, and that was based on their experience, and then they wanted to, which was bad, and then they wanted to expand it, and you know, the Zoning Adjustments Board said no. It's an interesting question, and I think we should address it with the planning staff, because it's also, there's several types of permits, and no one has, I think, studied the behavior in the neighborhood to say what's causing this. Whereas in the other cases, when we denied alcohol permits, we knew exactly what was causing it. We had evidence, we had the police department's backing, you know, it was problems that had been going on for a long time in the neighborhood. So I'm reluctant to, I mean, I think we should pursue the conversation and think about it, because it's, with the different kinds of permits and the different sizes of stores, you know, like to deny a permit to Trader Joe's would have a bigger impact on the alcohol that's available than to deny a permit for this small market. So it is complicated, and I think we should pursue it. I just think that at this point, I am supporting the application because they've provided information that every other applicant has provided, and we've never had, except when we had problems in the neighborhood that we could trace to a particular outlet. It was always been accepted for 20 some odd years.
Thank you so much for responding to my concerns.
Well, thank you. Vice Chair Young.
I'll share my comments as succinctly as possible. Reflecting some comments that Commissioner Sanderson shared, it's worth it to remind ourselves that we are limited to our permitting decisions based on local code, and actually we are also prohibited from making land use decisions based on protected classes pursuant to state and federal law. So, you know, decisions based on differential treatment of classes is out of the question. However, there are characteristics which I think may be relevant here. And one thing that caught my eye is this question about how a small business impacts local economic development versus that of maybe a large national chain. So I was just searching the internet for studies about the relationship between alcohol licenses and economic development, and found a study from the University of Arkansas where they did an analysis of a hypothetical of what would happen if that county, which was a dry county, were to transition to legalizing liquor and wine sales in the county. This is Little River County, and they estimate that if it had been a wet county in 2015, the total packaged alcohol sales would have amounted to an estimated $2.3 million annual revenue. To what extent we can apply that analysis to this situation, looking at a marginal permit, you know, is very much an open question. You could also ask, what is the marginal impact of allowing a small business to have a alcohol license versus the existing large national chain? The U.S. Civic Economics Group reported, according to Statista.com, that the benefit to local economies is more pronounced among small businesses. And they estimate that local retailers return 52% of their revenue into the local economy, while national retail chains contribute only 14%. Similarly, local restaurants circulate an average of 79% of their revenue to within the community, in contrast to 30% for chain restaurants. So, you know, just using or looking at some of those statistics, I think I'll incorporate that into my decision to support the motion and just enter that into the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Young. Any other comments before we, yeah, Commissioner Allen?
I know.
Keep it interesting. I love it. No, keep going.
So, Commissioner Sanderson's point of the information that's in front of us is consistent with information that's been provided for a long time, and it's worth a discussion with staff before the next one comes in on what we would want to see to be comfortable making similar determinations that, again, Commissioner Duffy said the same, like, what's the precedent we're setting? So I know we're trying to move things along, but that was important, and I wanted to reiterate that. Another thing I want to get into the record, so Trader Joe's does close at 9 p.m. The store is open till midnight. That provides additional convenience. And this, because they are, this would tip the census tract over the allowable ABC licenses, and that's where we get into these special conditions. If it helped Commissioner Duffy stomach a vote of approval, which may or may not tip the scales one way or the other, but as maybe other people would be thoughtful. So the project needs to make two findings, and staff has proposed that three of the findings could be made. So we could jettison the more questionable or the less substantiated finding. We would not need to make a finding that the economic benefits associated with the establishment could not reasonably be achieved without proposed alcohol sales or service. And we could say with confidence, and the other two findings could be made, that the sale of alcohol beverages complements the sales of other merchandise at the location, and the issuance of a license at the proposed location will improve the convenience of the area residents and visitors who purchase alcoholic beverages. So that it is a consideration of a friendly amendment to modify the findings to include just those two findings, D and E, and not make finding B.
I'd accept it if Commissioner Duffy would vote for it.
That's nope. That's not how that works.
I appreciate that you care about my vote, first of all. But secondly, I would just like to say that I really appreciate this as a learning opportunity for me. This is an area, you know, I'm an architect, and this is something outside of my area of expertise. And so every time these come before the board, they're an opportunity to learn. And the institutional knowledge that Board Member Allen and Board Member Sanderson have, I rely on a lot.
And I just thank you for your patience in that.
Yeah, Mr. Holmater.
I would also like to echo the gratitude for presenting different ways of thinking of issues that I came before, because I think maybe it was Commissioner Duffy said, originally convenience to me meant circulation patterns and meant how fast you could get somewhere. And I had been thinking about, you know, potential conditions for approval, citing neighbors' concerns about whether or no limiting alcohol sales past a certain hour made sense in this context, but thinking about the convenience that additional hours represent for people within the neighborhood, I can understand that the expanded use of convenience, expanded, I guess, definition of convenience does bring benefit and also opens more hours for economic gain outside of Trader Joe's being open.
Wonderful, thank you. And Commissioner Allen, were you making a friendly amendment with the, I couldn't tell where you landed on that one.
I would like that to be my second friendly amendment.
And that's because we only need, there only needs to be those two findings.
Yeah, there only needs to be two. Okay, I think the other two are very strong.
Okay, and can you say out loud again the one that you wanted to be removed, or maybe the two that you wanted to have keep?
The two that are, that resonate positively with me are finding D, the sale of alcohol beverage complements the sale of other goods and merchandise in the location, mm-hmm. and E, the issuance of a license at this proposed location will improve the convenience of area residents and visitors who purchase alcohol beverage.
Okay, and then we would drop the B. Okay.
Yeah.
I personally am friendly to that as well, if Commissioner Kashani is.
That's fine.
Okay,
thank you.
Wonderful. Do we have, and also I just wanted to thank everyone on the commission. You've said we've had so many amazing discussions, and this is, I've learned so much from this one specifically, and I think we all just bring a really unique perspective to this, and I'm really glad we gave it the care it deserves. And I think there's even, yeah, additional comments to be had about how staff could, you know, what things can be presented to us and how to have this be even better moving forward. And I really, really appreciate everyone's care we've taken to do that today. So unless anyone has any other comments, which you totally can. Again? All right. Then we have a motion from Commissioner Kashani to approve the use permit with two friendly amendments. The first one being, oh my gosh, what was the first one? We've had so many.
That the floor area for the beer and wine not to exceed 25%.
Yes, not to exceed 25%, yeah.
And would that be a condition of approval that's added, or?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the second being that we were going to remove, that was item B from, what was that specifically? Sorry, we're getting used to the computer thing.
Findings D and E are made, and
yes.
Remove finding B.
Finding B, that is perfect, thank you so much.
Okay. Are we ready for a vote?
Yes, we are.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Kashani and a second from Chair Gaffney with friendly amendments to approve the use permit with the amendments of adding a condition of approval to cap the floor area of the alcohol sales to 25% of the total floor area of the business, and to remove finding B from the findings, and to confirm findings D and E are made for the use permit. When I call your name, please state your vote. Commissioner Duffy.
Yes.
Chair Gaffney.
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Palmateer?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Kashani?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, wonderful. The motion passes. It is appealable for the next 14 days. After that, 14 days after the mailing of the notice of decision. And after that 14 days, you will then have your use permit. All right. That was really fun. I agree. I really appreciate everyone here. And yeah, so we do not have another item on our action calendar. So we actually are well on our way to subcommittee reports, and we have not met the DRC yet. So we will be reporting on that next SAB meeting. And then we just have general correspondence. Does anyone have anything to correspond? Because it's not even staff announcements, it's just general correspondence. So does anyone have anything to say? I can't tell if anyone. Yeah, please. This is the time.
I was asking a question of Commissioner Thompson, which is how long it usually takes from something that's on DRC to then come before the ZAB.
It can usually be a pretty quick turnaround. It does, I think, depend on the applicant and what they choose. But I mean, it can be usually pretty quick turnaround. Maybe staff might actually know. So we can. Do you guys know on how quick DRC? They can come the next. They can come right afterwards, as soon as they go to DRC, get preliminary design review, then they can come straight to.
Yeah, often it can be as quick as 4 weeks before, because the ZAB staff reports are due generally a month or 5 weeks before the actual ZAB meeting. Mm-hmm. So you have to get the DRC comments into the ZAB staff report.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, staff.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, we're good. All right, any staff announcements?
I think this was announced at the last meeting, but just a repeat that the June 26th ZAB meeting has been canceled. And that's it.
All right, awesome, thank you. Well, then I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, we will do a roll call vote.
When I state your name, please state your vote. Commissioner Duffy.
Yes.
Chair Gaffney.
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson.
Yes.
Commissioner Palmateer.
Yes.
Commissioner Allen.
Yes.
Commissioner Choi.
Yes.
Vice Chair Young.
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson.
Yes.
Commissioner Kashani.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. See you all in 2 weeks.